It's good to see everyone this morning. We again want to welcome you. We do have several visitors with us. We're especially glad that you are here. And I have to just make a comment about the Cabans being here. It is just truly a pleasure to have Ray and Vilna and little Joey's not so little anymore. And we miss having them with us, but it's certainly a nice surprise to have them with us this morning. We're glad that you are here. And just always a pleasure when you have members who've been members in the past but had to move away when they can come back. But good to see everyone, and glad we have the opportunity to gather together and to worship God this morning. In our auditorium class, we were looking this morning at Matthew, the 10th chapter, and Jesus commissioning his apostles. I'd like to begin our sermon this morning by looking at the preceding verses, if you will. Chapter 9 of Matthew's Gospel, beginning with verse 35. These are the verses that really set up Jesus commissioning his apostles. And let me read these verses to you. Verse 35 says that Jesus was going about all the cities and the villages, teaching in their synagogues and proclaiming the gospel of the kingdom and healing every kind of disease and every kind of sickness. And seeing the multitudes, he felt compassion for them because they were distressed and downcast like sheep without a shepherd. Then he said to his disciples, "The harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. Therefore, beseech the Lord of the harvest to send out workers into the harvest." That's such a powerful set of verses when you think about what Jesus is lamenting about. He's looking at all of these Jewish people who are ready for that gospel message. They're primed for that gospel message. And he sees their emotional state of being in a state of depression and downcast. And therefore they need this good news, this gospel message. So they need it. And they're ready for it. And yet the laborers are few. The ability to be able to preach the gospel to those people, it's hindered because there's not enough who can just go there just logistically to be able to go and to present this message. Jesus himself can't do it by himself. And there need to be more workers there in the field. And the image that he uses there is such a marvelous image, as is so often the case with Jesus and his parables and his teachings. He uses such graphic and picturesque imagery. Just imagine, here is this field and all the planting had been done, the sowing had been done, everything had been done so that there would be a good crop. And indeed, this marvelous crop is there and it's ready to be harvested. And the harvest time comes. And yet the owner of that field doesn't have enough laborers to go out and harvest it. Well, just think about that. If the field is ready to be harvested, and yet there's not enough laborers to go there and to harvest that crop, then all that work that has been done, all the sowing, all the tending of the crop, everything that's been done, it's all for naught. It's all in vain. If you can't finally go out there and harvest it, well, then what's the point of all that? And so ultimately what Jesus is talking about is the plan of God can ultimately be thwarted in some sense by the fact that there just aren't enough people who are willing to go out there and work. I had someone question me about that one time. I made that comment in a sermon, talking about how God needs you. Maybe you're the one that can go talk to this person about the gospel, or you're the one who can maybe reach them, and God needs you. And so what if you then don't carry through, and what if you never speak to that person? I had someone question me about that. God doesn't need us, he said. God's not going to allow somebody's eternal salvation to hinge upon whether you or I teach them the gospel. He'll see some way done that they'll have the gospel taught to them or whatever. And okay, all right, maybe so. But there's still a point to be made here. In a very real sense, what Jesus is talking about is the laborers are few. That's a problem. We need more laborers. We need people who are willing to go out there and assist in harvesting the crop that God has been preparing here and bring to fruition all that God has been trying to accomplish. So that's what Jesus is talking about. The harvest is plentiful, but the laborers are few. That's why Jesus then, as you keep going in the narrative, that's why it's on this occasion he commissions his apostles, those 12, to go into that area of the Jews and to represent him and to teach the gospel to them and to heal in his name and all those kinds of things. But I would say to us that there's a need for workers today. And that there's a principle that Jesus is teaching here. It's not something that just applies to the apostles. God needs workers in his fields. He needs workers in his kingdom. And so we want to talk today about the fact that we need workers today because the fields are ready to be harvested. And yet the laborers so often seem to be so few. May I say to you this morning that we desperately need evangelists today. And I don't just mean individuals who are supported by churches, maybe on some part-time basis or full-time basis, like Ed and I, to be evangelists and preach the gospel. I'm not simply talking about people like that, but I'm talking about we need evangelists today in the sense of Acts chapter 8 and verse 4. You recall there where the text talks about how those who were in Jerusalem, those disciples who were scattered as a result of that persecution in the aftermath of Stephen's martyrdom, the text says that they went about everywhere preaching the gospel. And the Greek word is the word for evangelizing. They were evangelists. They were spreading that gospel message. And we need people like that today. John stole some of my thunder when he asked you if everybody was here this morning. Because yes, I'm sure you all have heard of the latest example. It happens every so often where somebody claims that, oh, I've figured out by looking at Scripture exactly when Jesus is going to come and all that. And so yes, just recently had a fairly well-known national radio personality, radio preacher who lives in Oakland, California, claiming that May 21st at 6 o'clock, there'd be 2% of the world's population that would be raptured and everybody else would be sent straight to hell. And so that's what he was preaching and that's what people are listening to and apparently some popularity there. And of course, the deadline came and went. But that kind of thing happens all the time. And what that illustrates is how ignorant people are out there. And I don't mean that in some insulting way. I'm just talking about the fact of the matter is that people out there are absolutely ignorant of the Bible. Jesus said they're like sheep without a shepherd. They don't understand. They don't understand God's teaching. They don't understand God's revelation. They don't understand the plight that they are in. They're distressed. They're downtrodden, Jesus says. But yet they don't know the answer. They don't know the real solution. They may think they know sometimes, but they don't. And that incident that we've just been talking about just illustrates how much biblical ignorance there is today by oftentimes people who allegedly are preachers and are supposed to know what the Bible says, and yet people don't. And then think about all those people who listen to erroneous preaching like that. Of course, the Bible teaches that God has not revealed when Jesus is going to return. Even the authors of the Scriptures didn't know that. That was something God kept hidden. How absurd for someone to think that he can then read these writings and deduce something which the biblical writers weren't even privy to, somehow when God is exactly going to send Jesus to return. There's so much ignorance out there. Amy and I were watching a movie the other night. We like scary movies, watch a movie about demon possessions and exorcisms and all this kind of stuff, you know. This particular movie was just so focused in upon the Catholic Church and all of that. And I just couldn't help but be overwhelmed by this sense of frustration and how much ignorance is there in Catholicism, and not just Catholicism, but with so many denominations where it's so far removed from what the Bible actually teaches. And yet people are only taught that, and they grow up with that, and that's all they ever know. And my point to you, brethren, is that we need people who are going to be reaching out to those people and trying to bring them to the truth. And we have a great need for all of that. And yet the laborers so often are just very, very few. I tell you what we need. We need more people who are able to do what Sue and Pat Patton did the other day, sitting in a hospital waiting room. And here's a perfect stranger that they enter into conversation with, begin to ask them why they are there. Well, they have a relative that's undergoing surgery, naturally leading to talking about spiritual things. And they use that opportunity to talk with that individual in some degree about the things of the gospel and to represent Jesus Christ in some way and invite this individual to come to services and say a prayer with that individual. What a marvelous use of their time and energy on that occasion. How great it was that there were some workers there. I don't know if there's going to be any ultimate harvest or result from all that, but that's the kind of thing that we need. Are those people who are disciples of Jesus Christ who are going to be thinking about that throughout the day and in various things that they're involved in during the day, and maybe seizing an opportunity to have a conversation with maybe this person or that person, maybe ultimately invite them to church services, something like that, doing whatever they might be able to do to try to reach out, because we have a lost and dying world. And these people are without a shepherd. We need more Christians who are going to be able to teach those individuals and have some Bible study with that individual to be able to instruct them. Because as we've been saying, there's so much religious error out there. And so many of our friends and neighbors, they think that they're fine, but they're not. And somebody taught you and me the gospel. If indeed we have a knowledge of the truth, and I hope and I believe that we do. Well, if we do have a knowledge of the truth, somebody taught us that. Whether it was our parents, whether it was our Bible class teachers, whether it was our friends and neighbors who converted us, somebody taught you the gospel of Jesus Christ. Well, we need workers who are going to be willing to go out and teach other people who desperately need somebody to come teach them the gospel of Jesus Christ. Jesus was concerned about that. We need those kinds of evangelists today. And while we're talking about that, let's talk just about parents. Because when you're talking about the need to evangelize, how about just those children that you have in your care? How about starting with them? We need parents today who are truly going to be bringing up their children in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. Ephesians 6 verse 5. We need fathers who are going to take it seriously, their spiritual responsibility to be a leader of their home spiritually. We need mothers who are going to be like Timothy's mother and grandmother were. 2 Timothy chapter 2 and 3. That talk about where he was brought up by these women and trained in the scriptures. We need parents who are going to be willing and able to do that in our day and time, because there's so many children who grow up and they don't really understand the gospel. We need parents who are going to take that responsibility seriously. And by the way, if I may add, not just relegated to, well, the local church and those Bible classes. Because that's what so often parents do. The primary responsibility of training our children spiritually is not something God gave a local congregation to. No, the primary responsibility of evangelizing and training those young lives, it's mom and dad. It's your responsibility. And so we need those kinds of workers, because again, the fields are ready to be harvested. But we need people who will go ahead and do that. I'll tell you something else we need. We need preachers. And I am now talking about those who in a more formal way preach and teach the Word of God to groups of people. Because I want to tell you what, we have a dearth of preachers in our day, in my judgment. We have a dearth of good preachers. We have a dearth of preachers who take it seriously. One of you that the other day stopped me after services and were kind of talking to me about the fact, he said, you know, I get frustrated sometimes because when a preacher or a Bible class teacher says something about a passage here and explains something about it, well, I get it and it clicks with me, but I'm frustrated because I'm not really able to see all those things on my own. And so the person was just talking about that, and I said to him, I said, you know, that's part of what God has said there is a need for. We need preachers and teachers who are adept at being able to read and study God's Word and able to help other people see that. I think sometimes what has happened to us is that maybe in order to emphasize that the gospel is something that is, you don't have to go ask your priest because he's the only one who can ever understand the Bible. You know, we've tried to counter that. And so in order to counter that, we've emphasized the point that the Bible is simple and that it's a simple gospel message and all of that. Well, there's a truth there in that statement. But on the other hand, we can kind of go the other extreme with it. Remember in Acts chapter 8, when Philip the evangelist comes up to the Ethiopian eunuch's chariot and he asks him what he's reading and asks him if he understands what he's reading. And the eunuch made this point. He said, well, how can I understand unless somebody guides me? There's a truth there. The fact of the matter is that the nature of God's revelation is such that those who are inexperienced or less experienced with the Bible are not able to just read it and grasp everything that is being talked about. And so there's a need for those who are able to explain these scriptures to them and who have more experience in all that. There's an absolute responsibility there. There's an absolute need for all of that. We don't have a lot of people in our day and time, it seems to me, who are really giving themselves, focusing upon that, and trying to do that in the best possible way. And there's a real dearth of that kind of preaching and teaching. And so we got a bunch of people who read the Bible and they're kind of floundering because they don't understand some things. And so it doesn't make sense to them and they don't have some background knowledge. And so they need somebody who can help them. But there's not enough people who are there to help them. And you know what we have as a result? We tend to have Bible classes where, and I see this all the time, and I have, even as I go around on meetings, I have people talk to me about this problem. You have Bible classes where the person who's the, quote, teacher of the class, he isn't teaching anything. He just kind of starts the discussion. They're not Bible class teachers, they're Bible class conversation starters. And so everybody just kind of reads a passage, and that becomes a springboard for people kind of just saying various things about what they think here or there. But there's no real teaching. There's no one who's prepared to teach them what this is talking about. There's not real study. It's just sort of a fluff, devotional kind of class. I'm not trying to disparage that totally. Sometimes we just need to converse about things, about the Bible. There's a need for that. But if that's the only diet you ever have, pretty sparse diet. We need people who are going to be willing to devote themselves to studying God's Word and teaching that to other people. And I don't see a lot of that. I don't see a lot of young men that are just real gung-ho about being a preacher of the gospel and devoting themselves full-time to that. I have a lot of people that talk to me sometimes about I'm getting my degree in this kind of secular field, and I'm going to do that. But I want to do some preaching. But it's almost like, well, okay, that's sort of an afterthought, or you know. And they prepare themselves to do everything except actually preach, you know. And again, the fields are ready to be harvested, but there's just not very many laborers there. Not very many people who devoted themselves to be preachers and Bible class teachers and to do a really good job with that. Elders. Jesus said, they're like sheep without a shepherd. Well, how can you not think then about elders? Congregation after congregation that I come in contact with, they either don't have elders, and they haven't had elders for years, or the congregation maybe that does have elders, there are criticisms about the job the elders are doing. There's just few congregations, it seems, that have really good elders. And again, Jesus says, there's a need for people to be engaged in this kind of work. Had a conversation the other day, a young man called me, and he was excited. And I was excited about the news he was telling me about. He's a former student of mine at the college, and every now and then he'll call me and we'll ask about various biblical things, and we'll talk about various things. He was very excited because the church where he was preaching now, they were just about ready now to appoint elders for the first time in 40 years. And it's just great and exciting and all that. And he's preaching some lessons on eldership and all that. And I thought that was just really, really good. And yet, the obvious question that comes to my mind is, why did it take 40 years? Why did it take 40 years for this local church to have elders? You know, when you look at the book of Acts and look at Acts 13 and following, where Paul's making his travels and he's evangelizing and spreading the gospel and starting churches here in Antioch of Pisidia and Iconium and Lystra and Derbe. And then he backtracks and goes back to them a few months later. And the text says, and he appointed elders in every church. When you look at the New Testament, what you see are local congregations who, if they don't have elders, it's that they don't have elders for a brief period of time. Because even as Paul emphasizes in Titus chapter 1 and in 1 Timothy chapter 3, the need for elders is absolutely great. In fact, there may be some implication in Titus chapter 1 and verse 5 where the term that Paul uses, where he talks about the need for there to be elders in a church, is even a term that reflects the idea, at least in classical Greek, reflected the idea of setting a bone that had been broken or something that was wrong that was now set right. There's a problem if a congregation of the Lord's people does not have elders. There's a major problem. Not a minor problem, a major problem. If Jesus could talk about the problem of there being sheep without any shepherd, what do you have if you've got a local church and there's no eldership? And then people say in response, well, but we have business meetings. Please. Please. Now, if people think that somehow elders are just God's way of having a better arrangement than a business meeting, then we have a pretty sorry view of what the role of elders really is. Now, we need men who are going to be elders and be spiritual counselors and be able to guide the sheep of the flock. And if you don't have congregations with elders, and congregations with elders, not just in title, not just in name only, but who really do the work. If you don't have that, here's what you have. You've got people who are distressed and downcast like sheep without a shepherd. That's exactly what you have. So I want to say to you this morning that we need workers today. And let me also say this. These workers have got to be prepared. Workers must be prepared. Rick, a few minutes ago, read that passage in 2 Timothy about all Scripture being inspired of God and profitable for us. The very last line of that statement in verse 17 is, equipped for every good work. Equipped for every good work. The whole point is that God has designed his scriptures to be a means whereby we can all be equipped to be able to accomplish the good work that needs to be accomplished. That certainly sets forth this principle that ought to be self-evident in our minds, that for there to be workers who are in God's field and are harvesting this crop, you've got to have workers who know how to do the work, who know how to do the job. And that means preparation. That means being equipped in order to do that. And so we need people who can be those personal evangelists today, who can, yes, be having those Bible classes and are knowledgeable enough about the scriptures to be able to handle that. Are you able to do that? Not everybody has the ability to be able to be a formal teacher over the kitchen table of somebody and maybe conduct a Bible class like that. Not everyone has the native ability to be able to do that. I understand that. But we need people who are able to do that, and that means they prepare themselves to be able to do that. Are you really able to do that? You know what a lot of people are able to do? Here's what they're able to do. They're able to open up their Bible and go to certain passages that explain what they did and what they believe someone needs to do in order to become a Christian. They can open up their Bible and show that you need to believe in Jesus, that you need to be willing to confess that faith in Jesus, that you need to repent of your sins. They can show passages that talk about the need to be baptized into Jesus. And don't misunderstand me, all that's necessary and therefore all that's good. But a lot of people, that's really all they can do. But they're talking with somebody over the kitchen table, or they're talking with somebody in that Bible discussion, and they come from one of those backgrounds like we were addressing before, where they've been fed all this misinformation from their church, from their denominational preacher. They have all this error in their mind. Are you able to help that person who's been taught his false doctrine? Do you understand why what he's believing is false? And can you help that person understand why it's false and show them biblically why it's false? Now that's a tougher road to hoe, isn't it? It's not just a matter of being able to just flash out some passages about hear, believe, repent, confess, and be baptized. It's a matter of helping that individual. And so often these individuals are in pretty common denominational churches where the kind of erroneous thinking is pretty common, and yet we don't have a lot of workers who have prepared themselves to be able to address those issues. Well, say, well, but Marty, that's why I invite this person to come to church and come hear you, because I want them to, you to be the one to teach them. Well, okay, I mean, I hope I can maybe do that. But the problem is, it's hard to get people to come to church services sometimes, isn't it? Sometimes what's going to be the final thing, maybe to get that person even to be willing to come to church services, is if somebody like you, in your conversation with your friend, with your relative, with your next door neighbor, you can show them some things that put some doubt in their mind about what they've always believed. And until they really have a sense that maybe you have something that they don't have, that you maybe see something about the Bible that they should see and yet they don't see it, unless you're able to show them that, you might not ever get them to come to the church building. We need workers who are prepared to do that kind of personal evangelizing. Parents, are you really prepared to raise your kids in the nurture and admonition of the Lord? Are you really able to teach them? It doesn't just happen by, okay, just bringing them to church services every Sunday and Wednesday. Do your kids look up to you as a father who's biblically knowledgeable, Have you prepared yourself with that? Have you gained instruction in that? Do your children, mothers, do they look up to you as a woman who knows the Bible and is truly trying to grow in your knowledge of His Word? Is that how our kids see us? That's what we need, is parents who take the preparation seriously. And it seems to me that's where sometimes we fall short. It's the preparation part of it. We haven't equipped ourselves to really do a good job getting out in that field. I know that's true when it comes to preachers. I know that's true when it comes to preachers. And maybe I can kind of jump on this one because, you know, that's what I've been. But I tell you what, there's a lot of preachers who get up in pulpits today who are not good Bible students. They need to be ashamed of themselves. Paul told Timothy, 2 Timothy, chapter 2, verse 15. In fact, let me read these words because I think it is so meaningful to all of us. 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 15, he said, "Be diligent to present yourself approved to God as a workman who does not need to be ashamed, handling accurately the word of truth." There's a lot of preachers who get up in pulpits, just like I'm up here this morning, but they get up in pulpits and they prepared little lessons with little proof text passages that so often the passage really isn't talking about what they say that it's talking about because they've not been a good diligent student of God's Word. They're not handling it accurately. They're just kind of repeating what they've kind of learned as their own little tradition or by rote or something, but they're not good students of God's Word. There's a lot of preachers and Bible class teachers in our day who haven't prepared themselves, and that's the reason why it's a lot easier to be that conversation starter rather than a real Bible teacher. Because frankly, they don't say much because they don't have much to say. We don't need workers who get out there in the field and haven't prepared themselves to do the work. We need workers who have prepared themselves, who take seriously this. That's the reason why I emphasize so much to the young men, especially or older alike, who are preaching, whether it's the fifth Sunday, whether you're filling in, or whether you do it on a regular basis, to take that seriously. It's a serious responsibility. It's not just a matter of, oh, well, I'm the preacher. And I'll tell you what a lot of guys do, and I've seen this countless times. They have a gift of gab. And so they get up in a pulpit, and they use their gift of gab, and they tell some humorous things, and people enjoy that, and people laugh at that. And they're like, well, I can do that. I can preach. It makes my stomach turn. I can't stand that because it so demeans everything about the nature of the gospel and what preaching is to be all about. We need preachers who are preparing themselves, who take it seriously. And elders, I tell you what, we need elders who are preparing themselves to be elders. It's not a popularity contest, and it's not this kind of deal where, okay, well, after a certain amount of time, because I'm the one who makes comments in the Bible classes, all that, well, then surely I'm going to be picked to be an elder. Are you really preparing yourself to be an elder? I tell you what, come talk to the man that you have here who functioning as overseers. Let us tell you a little bit about what's involved with that. If you want to learn something, Pull Ronnie Lowe aside for a few minutes and just talk to him a little bit about what's involved in being an elder. And you will learn a lot about that in dealing with people and trying to teach people just on one-to-one basis. And a lot of men don't prepare themselves in that regard. A lot of men who serve as elders really haven't prepared themselves biblically. And Paul tells Titus that elders need to be able to convict the gainsayer. A lot of elders really aren't able to do that because they haven't prepared themselves. And again, what state are the sheep going to be in if the shepherd they have really doesn't know how to shepherd them? doesn't know what to do. We need workers who are prepared. Jesus said, the harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. And I want to close this morning by noting with you the very next thing Jesus said. He said, therefore, and he said to his disciples, therefore, beseech the Lord of harvest to send forth workers. Pray to God to send forth workers, because we sure do need them. And we need you, everybody here, to find your place, your niche, and work in that field. And we need to pray that God will help us do all of that. With that in mind, would you go to God with me in prayer at this time? Our great Lord of harvest, we thank you that we can be your people. Father, as we've talked about this morning, we understand what a great need there is for workers in your field. Father, we pray this morning that indeed we would not have few workers among us here at Valrico, but instead we'd have many, many, many workers. And not just workers in name only, but workers who prepare themselves to be the best kind of personal evangelist possible, the best kind of parent training their children possible, best kind of preacher and Bible class teacher possible, prepared to be the best kind of elder possible. Father, we pray that we would have many, many workers here, because there are just so many people in our area surrounding our building who need the gospel, and we're not reaching them as well as we could be. We need workers there, Father, help us. And we have so many even among our own number who need teaching and need personal teaching and personal encouragement. We need workers, Father, in your field, and we pray that indeed you would enable us to be that and to send us forth as prepared, as equipped to bring about the harvest ultimately for your glory. This is our prayer, and we beseech you, dear Father. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. Thank you for hearing me this morning. I hope these things will be helpful to us. I wonder if there's someone this morning who needs to render obedience to the gospel of Jesus Christ. Do you need to be baptized into Jesus? What a wonderful harvest time that would be if this morning you were baptized into Jesus. Or maybe there's some other need, maybe some spiritual need as a Christian, as a disciple of Jesus, that we can assist you with. If you would, let that be known while together we stand and sing this song of encouragement. Won't you come?